Blog Talk Radio.
Definitely when you think about the fact that we already have had our first African-American president, I think this is really an era of progression in American politics, and we could set the stage for really set an example for the rest of the world. If we have our first African-American president and then immediately follow that with our first woman president, that would just be amazing.
I think it would be really interesting to have yet another legacy of, like, continuing the Clintons. Like, we've had multiple Bushes, like, having another Clinton, like, having just that continued legacy seems kind of weird. But, I mean, Hillary is an amazing woman. She's done so much. And the idea of having a woman as president is really exciting.
Our pleasure cruise, where still, unfortunately, we still have 933 days, 4 hours, 56 minutes, and 8 seconds. Oh, and it just keeps ticking on and on and on. It can't get to zero quick enough. If we had a responsible Congress, zero would have been, well, I don't know, oh, at least a year ago. Let's see, Benghazi happened 2 years ago. Well, actually, we could go back Fast and Furious. I mean, we could go back. But, I mean, at least the bare minimum. Zero should have been a year ago, but it ain't. And if these libs have anything to do with it, 933 days is just going to be, you know, that's just going to be a start. That's the end of his second term. Then we go into, well, his, well, life term. He's king for life. He's the only one who knows anything. I mean, he went to Harvard. He was the head of the Harvard Law Review. Don't you know? Oh, he's a president. A president. Or what was he, an editor? What was he? What did he do at that stupid Harvard Law Review? Did he ever write for the paper? Was he an editor? No. No, he doesn't write. He golfs. What does he write? He doesn't write what's in his teleprompter. Oh, my God, I don't know if anybody. Oh, Jiminy, Jesus. Oh, my Lord, 11 today. It was so painful. I swear to God. It was like trying to gargle chainsaws, man. It was painful. It was absolutely just painful, pitiful, embarrassing. I mean, I was the only one in the entire house here, and I had to hide my face. That's how embarrassing it was listening to this guy. I mean, it was pathetic. And he's got a teleprompter, and he's got another teleprompter that's way up high, so I guess when he's looking up, and he's supposed to be, you know, thinking, I guess, you know, heavy in thought, God only knows what's going on in that brain. Whatever's going on in that teleprompter is the only thing that's going on in his brain. That's his brain, the teleprompter. You take away his teleprompter. And blah, 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 blah. What was that from? What the hell was that from? Big Stewie from The Family Guy. That's what he is. He's Bix Berry. Oh, my God. That's what it is. Bix Berry. Oh, unbelievable. That's what it is. That's what happens when he gets off his teleprompter. Unbelievable, this guy. Anyway, getting back to whatever the hell I was trying to talk about, he's up there talking. He was in Washington today. And he's got his shirt off, and he's always got that blue tie. Whenever he has to make an important speech, he always wears that light blue tie. I don't know why I notice that. I don't ever notice clothes and stuff, but I mean, I am a noticeable guy. I mean, I am very observant of just about everything in the room. I should have been a detective, but I didn't. I'd never make it as a cop. Too many people that should be arrested, well, I'd be frustrated that I couldn't. Too many people that, you know, I don't feel deserve to get arrested, well, then I got to take them in. Got to do it. Part of the job. No, it ain't part of the job. You only put people in handcuffs and remove them from society when they are a threat. But if you're a little dog, oh, then you get shot. Did you see that video that was all over the place? Now, who knows if the cop got scared or whatever, but, you know, I mean, he could have looked over the fence. I mean, I'm sorry. But from where the dog was at, unless the cop jumped over and then, I don't know. But it seems like it's a little excessive. And, of course, the cop that did it wasn't there. I guess he's out on a donut run. And I guess the cops, that, you know, I was watching it. They were trying not to be, you know, disrespectful. I guess they, you know, they understood. But what could they do? That was their buddy. They got to protect them. Look, I don't mind protecting your buddy, but we got to start protecting the laws that we have for a reason. We got to start protecting each other. Before we can do that, we got to protect ourselves. I mean, come on. But anyway, now we're way off track. That's it. Now it's Bitch Captain is in charge here. Bitch Captain's on the helm. Good God almighty, we're never going to get this ship underway today. Let's do that now. Damn it. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, and I missed a whole bunch of stuff yesterday, but that's because of that president yesterday. Well, I hate calling him president. He's not a president. Presidents don't act like that. Presidents, first of all, do not desert their post during a battle, which that still pisses me off. I'm sorry, I can't forgive that. That is impeachable. I can't for the life of me figure out. Unless Mr. Boehner is, he's afraid, he doesn't want to rock the boat. Well, you know, well then, jump overboard and swim back to shore. I don't know what to tell you, but, you know, come on. Wipe them tears, put out your cigarettes, get out of the tanning booth, put on your man panties, it's time to go to work. Look, the ship is taking on water here. You know, we gotta shore up the hole. Come on. Look, I see it, you see it, everybody sees it. You talk to people even in the stupid markets now. A lot of more and more people are waking up. However, the people that should be waking up ain't. The people that are in charge. Well, you know who's really in charge? Again, I know I sound like a broken frickin' record, but we are in charge. We just have to exercise our power. President seems to doesn't have any problem exercising his power that he doesn't have, that he keeps making up, and then he gets to his little buddy over there, Eric Holder. Hey, little buddy, what you doing? Oh, nothing. Oh, not much. Yeah. You know, I mean, he could be, you know, helping, you know, trying to get a Marine out of jail in Mexico, but they're too busy getting the Taliban free from Guantanamo. Those boys don't get free. Look, we should have killed most of them on the battlefield, so we didn't have to deal with this crap. But, I mean, that's just me. And I hate talking about killing, killing, killing. This is what I hate. Killing just brings more killing. You know, and I talked about the other night, you know, the only way to end this war is to end it. Well, that's what we thought in World War I. That was going to be the war to end all wars. Well, this has got to be a war to at least end this war. That's what it's got to be. Will there ever be a war to end all wars? Well, I guess if we have a big enough one and the entire planet blows up, which I doubt very seriously that could really happen, but maybe it could. I don't know. But we don't have to test it out to see if it could work. We don't have to end all wars to end all wars. We just have to end this war. And this is a war that is not just in the Middle East. This thing is coming here. We do have people here. Their sights are on the United States of America, our soil, our sacred soil. That's why I just can't figure out why this government would allow these people to even set foot on American soil. Closest they should come is Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. That's it. They should never be allowed to touch American soil. I would never bring them over here. Absolutely no. They don't. And if they are over here, then we got to kick them the hell out of here. That should be our policy. You want a no tolerance policy? Well, okay, that's one right there. Look, we got to put it, and it's all countries have to do it. It's not just the United States. This is a world problem. My God, what they're doing to England. I mean, you can't say anything. So now a girl, a little teenage girl, puts bacon all over the door handle and throws a slab of it in the frickin' hallway there. I mean, was it a stupid thing to do? Okay, whether it was a Christian church, a Jewish church, or whatever church. Yeah, it was a stupid thing to do. But a year in prison, I think, is a little much. Just a little bit excessive. Was it a stupid thing to do? Yeah. Jail time, I don't really see it. Maybe she could clean the mess up, do some work around there, do something, whatever. But, I mean, a year in jail, come on. That's ridiculous. We still haven't got underway yet. All right, let's lift our jib and get this freedom ship underway here. Let's do it. Ah, there we are. Now we're officially underway and headed out to sea in the bosun mate can shift colors. What I wanted to get into tonight before I blast it off into Deep Space Nine, which happens. I can't do nothing about it. What are you going to do? But this kidnapping now, speaking of jihads, again, it's not just in Israel. It's not just in the Middle East. These people are targeting everywhere. This caliphate that they, you know, that they believe in, this is real. I take it serious. That's just me. We do have to put an end to it. Not for God, not for Allah, not for anything other than just plain old friggin' humanity. We've got to end this war. This particular war. This war on terror, whatever name you want to give it. Radical Islam, jihad, whatever. I don't care whatever name you want to call it. You want to make something up, then make something up. It doesn't matter. The point is, these people, and again, it's not just Hamas, it's not just Al-Qaeda, Boko Haram. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. I can't pronounce half of the damn things. Again, this is all over the world. This is not just our problem. I think if we really need to end this, if we want to put an end to it, we got to get Europe together. France is not having, they're not liking what's going on over there with, they're trying to take over France. And England, I mean, they're taking them, Australia. What they're doing here in the United States, it's a little slower than what's going on in Europe, but hey, they're picking away at that wall, man. They're tearing it down brick by brick. And if we're not going to build it back up and defend it and keep them from knocking any more bricks down, well, they're just going to come on in. Just like all these illegal aliens. Come on in. Oh, yeah, you get free everything. Yeah, it's great, man. This is Disneyland. Yeah, and then they throw them in this little room here. So everybody collects all these diseases. And if the doctors say anything, they get arrested. I got a story in here. God only knows if I'll get to it tonight. I'm going to try. But getting back to this kidnapping here now. And again, it's not just over there. It's here, it's there, it's everywhere. But the world needs to get together and say, hey, there's only one way to end this, and that's to end it. First of all, we've got to stop tolerating all their jihadi, you know, rigmarole. If they want to live that way, then let them. That's fine. Who cares? I don't care. What you do in the privacy of your own home, what you do with your friends and your family, I think that should be kept to you. Unless you're directly affecting me, directly affecting the neighborhood, directly affecting society, directly affecting the entire country, I mean, why would anybody even give a damn? We don't. But when you expect me to change my entire way of life for you, no, ain't going to happen. Ain't gonna happen. Now, if I went over to your country, I certainly wouldn't expect you to just rearrange your and turn your entire life upside down and do everything that I do and start eating pork. I love pork. Pork ribs. Love pork ribs. Barbecue pork ribs. You got to eat a million of them because there's, you know, hardly any meat on them, but they're good. I love pork. Who doesn't love pork? And bacon. God almighty, I could eat bacon on anything. Anything. I could put bacon on ice cream. Actually, bacon on ice cream isn't too bad. You could put bacon on anything. Doesn't matter what it is. Put bacon in a milkshake. It's actually not too bad, believe it or not. Vanilla milkshake and bacon. It's not bad. But you can put bacon on anything. I don't understand why these Jews in Arabs, why they don't like bacon, man. Oh, well, because somebody ate one and didn't cook it all the way, got sick, and thought it was from the freaking devil. Well, you got to cook it. You cook it, it's fine. and it tastes good, and it ain't dirty. You know, you keep the pen clean, they'll be clean. I mean, you keep a bunch of dogs dirty, they'll be dirty too. Cats, and you keep a bunch of people dirty, they'll be dirty people. So, animals are animals. And speaking of animals, these animals that kidnapped these three teenagers, I can't pronounce these kids' names, so I apologize. I don't mean to disrespect them. I won't repeat the terrorists' names. I just do not repeat their names. I don't think they're worthy of having their names repeated. Whether there's only 10 people listening here or a million, doesn't matter. I wish the media would take on that, too, and not repeat their freaking names or even show their stupid picture. I don't even want to see them. They shouldn't be allowed to get glorified. ABC and NBC and CBS, they'll be glad to show them. Those are their buddies. They're all trying to buddy up to, you know, jihad. They think if they're nice to them that they won't chop their head off. Well, I doubt that's really going to work, but if you want to go ahead and try, do it. You're an infidel. It doesn't matter how nice you are to them. The Jews tried that with the Germans, too, in the ghettos. Yeah, they had their little Jew mayor. He was sucking up. Yeah, well, you know what? They got on that boxcar, too, just like the rest of them. So, that doesn't work. But I'm going to go ahead and try these names anyway. Just out of respect. Not out of disrespect that I mispronounce the damn things, but, well, not damn things. I don't mean to say that. I'm just a cusser, so sometimes cuss words come out, but I don't mean to. Anyway, let me try this. E.L. Yifrak. I don't think I'm anywhere close, but he was 19. Naftali Frankel, I guess. He was 16. And Gil, I can do Gil. Gilad Shahar. That one's an easy one. He was also 16. They were waiting for an they were waiting at an intersection south of Jerusalem. It was about 10:15 p.m. They were looking to catch a ride, hitchhike. They wanted to go back into central Israel where all of them lived. Well, they were picked up by a couple of terrorists, a couple of wackos. These guys are just out of their friggin' minds crazy. And they only want to do this to try to get their buddies out of jail. Well, you know what, Israel? You ought to kill them all. Kill all the prisoners that you got and just wipe them out. Oh, I'm sorry. We had a fire in a prison, you know. Only the guards got out. I don't know what the hell happened. We're investigating. I mean, you could be creative. Say you were doing, bringing in missiles and stuff. A plane crashed. You can have a plane crash. You don't need a pilot up there. Just crash it in there and say, yeah, well, it happened. Our computers crashed. We don't know what happened. Plane went down. Well, anyway, they were in a little Hyundai i35. And they were from Hamas. Seen the kids hitchhiking, so they thought they'd pick them up and give them a ride. Now, I didn't know this, but I would think that Israel would not be, especially close to the, that area that, teenagers would want to be hitchhiking. But I guess it's common. They do travel in and out of the settlements in there, in the West Bank. So maybe they've got, they look out for each other, and, well, maybe they thought that these guys were Israeli or whatever. They get in the car. Then they realize, oh, wait a minute, this ain't kosher here. So they try to call. Well, somehow they found out, and very shortly thereafter they were shot in the car, probably while they were driving. Then they turned the phone off, and the person that they were trying to call, I think it was their emergency, their, like, 911 or whatever. Evidently, she didn't go back and listen to the tapes or whatever, and she just dismissed it as a prank. How they found out, well, it's not really clear yet. They haven't put that in there. But they found out that it was a kidnapping. They went out tracking. They went out looking. Some officer, one of them, I guess the police or whatever he called or she called, like 8 more times, but received, you know, they received nothing but busy signals and voicemail and blah, 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 blah. But she dismissed it, thought it was, or he dismissed it, whichever. At that point, what are you going to do? I mean, you know, but exactly what their procedures are, I don't know. I'm not a 911 operator. Exactly what she heard or he heard, I think it was a she. Somewhere in here. It really doesn't matter. The operator, the officer, whatever. But somehow they found out, they went around looking. They put an APB out there. They went out looking for these kids. They didn't know that they were dead. Well, it looks like that they were shot actually during the phone call. I guess maybe that they went back and they reviewed the tapes. And they probably heard the shots over the phone. So that goes to show you how ruthless these people are. There is absolutely no respect for humanity, no respect for life whatsoever. I guess this cause, I guess, is the only thing that they respect or live for, die for, whatever for. But it certainly isn't humanity. Well, these people are trying to come to the United States if they're not already here. And don't think for one second that these people cannot or will not start kidnapping Americans. They kidnap the right American, they can get anybody they want to out of Guantanamo Bay. That's why, to me, it's just me. But those 5 Talibans that were traded for that traitor bird doll, first of all, shouldn't have been alive to be traded. But you want to trade them, do you? Okay. All right. They're right over there. Here's a shovel. Have at it, boys. Dig them up. You can take them. You want them? You got him. He's polluting the dirt. Get him the hell out of here. Benjamin Netanyahu, he's pissed. Unlike our president, this president actually, well, he gets pissed at stuff like that and takes like immediate action. Unlike our president, when we get attacked, he goes upstairs and eats. Netanyahu goes to work. Obama goes to eat. I mean, you see the difference there? There's a big difference there. And you know damn good and well those two really do not get along. Because Obama is not really a good friend to Benjamin Netanyahu. Oh, Obama will come out and give a speech and, you know, act like he's slobbering all over Israel, but he's not. He's not. But, I mean, the difference, and I got a comparison here. The difference between a leader and then from our president. First, Benjamin Netanyahu vowed that Hamas is responsible and Hamas will pay. Obama vowed, well, we're going to bring them to justice. No act of terror will ever tear us down. Blah, 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 blah. So 2 years later, you know, his poll numbers go down, so they catch a guy that everybody's been talking to, CNN. Looks like the New York Times, Fox, whole bunch of other newspapers. So they go roust him up, and they act like it's, oh, it's taken 2 years to plan this out. Really? A CNN gets it done in 5 minutes with one phone call. You need 2 years. And you get a guy that, you know, may have been there. He might have thrown a couple of rocks. Maybe he knows something. Maybe he doesn't. Well, why did, first of all, my question is, why didn't our military get there that night? Why didn't we roust these people up there that night? Well, we couldn't get there on time. So you know when the battle's going to end. And does that matter? No. If you get there and it's too late and they've all gone home, they've killed everybody and gone home, well, then, you know, you clean up the mess. You pick up the pieces. And you start chasing them. Where do they go? Well, I don't know. You try to follow them. Try to find them. You do what you can, but you got to send them. They were never sent. Hard to send an attack order when you're stuffing your face with a big fat bacon cheeseburger, pissing off your wife, supposed to be eating that tofu. And speaking of which, my old home state of Washington, they've now banned cupcakes. They've now banned food. I mean, these people are out of their damn fool minds. Look, when you're a kid, you got to eat cupcakes. It's all part of being a kid. You don't eat cupcakes, you're not a kid. Cakes, you're not a friggin' adult. Who doesn't love a cupcake? Come on. All right, fine. When you get older, they don't really, you know. Some of them can have, you know, devastating effects on your body for, you know, a short period of time. Well, I wouldn't say short. It feels like it's forever. But they're still good. They're a cupcake. Kids can eat cupcakes. It's okay to eat. It doesn't matter what you eat. If it doesn't affect you the wrong way, then eat it. If it does affect you the wrong way, well, then don't. People who have allergies to peanuts, they don't eat peanuts. So if this particular food makes you fat, then don't eat it. But if you like it and you don't mind being fat, then be fat. Isn't it your body? Don't you say that there, Libs? Isn't it a woman's body? It's also a man's body. He wants to be fat, let him. Woman wants to be fat, let her. Why don't you worry about yourself and stop, instead of worrying about this obesity? Obesity? Shut up. Obesity, schmesity. Shut up. Everything's obesity, obesity. Don't worry about it. Look, if it's your kid and you think they're too fat and they're obese and you want to do something about it, then do. Right, wrong, good, bad, or indifferent, it's not your child. You don't worry about other people's children. That's their job as the parent. You may not like it. That's fine. You don't have to like it. Well, then don't raise your child that way. But it's still their child. I mean, unless they're, you know, chaining them up to the basement wall and whipping them with, you know, tire irons and chains. And I mean, come on. I mean, this whole thing of everybody trying to butt into everybody's business, man. This kind of crap has got to stop. Take care of yourself. Don't worry about everybody else. Oh, no, we can't do that. Well, getting back to a leader, what leaders do, he struck back 34 targets across the Gaza Strip. More than 20 rockets were fired from Palestine into or Gaza Strip into Israel. So they get pissed off and they fire back. What does Obama do? Well, he releases their prisoners. He goes up and eats. Then he sends his propaganda minister down with the dude in the Situation Room. Here you have Howdy Doody and Valerie Goebbels in the Situation Room, handling the situation. Meanwhile, we've got a Secretary of Defense. He's sitting in the corner with his whole fist up his butt. God only knows what the hell he was doing. What was the general doing? Why wasn't the general in there, what was it, Dempsey or whatever his name was? Who knows? It doesn't matter. I'm terrible with names. It doesn't really matter anyway. Why wasn't he throwing a fit? Friggin' chief of staff? And your president deserts his post when the country's under attack? And you call yourself a general? Really? Why didn't you throw a fit? Why didn't you, Mr. Panetta? How about you, Hillary? Oh, that's right. You went home so you can get updates from home. She goes home. Obama goes to eat. Then he gets on a phone call for 2 hours. And then after that, well, I guess he was somewhere. He was in the White House somewhere. We just don't know where. Downstairs practicing his bowling, but, you know, can't be certain. I mean, after all, we got the most transparent administration in American political history. While Hamas, after Israel struck back, responded warning against any broad offensive on the territory. They're always saying that. Netanyahu should know that threats don't scare Hamas. And if he wages war on Gaza, the gates of hell will open on him. How many times have we heard that? Well, we have heard that. We just don't know when it's coming. But if they do get an opportunity, let me tell you something. Yeah, the gates of hell will open up on Israel. And if it happens under Obama's watch, well, he's just going to sit back and watch the fireworks. Oh, I don't want to get involved. I'm not going to put any boots on the ground. Well, we just did put boots on the ground. They're there. What we need to do is get the entire world there and just go on a bombing campaign. We know where they are. Just bomb and bomb and bomb. That's what we should have done in Afghanistan. Should have been 24/7. Bomb, 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 bomb. While you're not bombing where you just bombed, well, you bomb somewhere else. They think the bombing's over. They come out, you bomb them again. We don't need a bunch of troops on the ground. What we need to do is we need to wipe them out, and we need to not tolerate and not have to change our way of life for anybody. And that's the world. England shouldn't have to change their way of life. Now what, the Queen's going to have to stop eating pork? Huh? Think you're going to take the Queen's pork ribs away from her? I don't know. I don't know. She might have something to say about that. I don't know that Kate, she probably don't eat pork ribs. She probably don't eat meat. She's probably one of those. Can't stand those stupid vegetarians. But now they're not vegetarian. I guess vegetarian is offensive. You got to call them vegan. I mean, she's skin and bones, that girl, that Kate. I mean, she's just an itty-bitty little thing. She's tall. She's a nice-looking woman. She's a pretty woman. She is a pretty woman. But she's skinny. She's got probably only weighs, what, 75, 80 pounds? Her hair probably weighs more than her body. I mean, she's skinny, so she's probably one of those vegans. But I'm sure her husband, what's his name? That's not Charles. Charles is the dad. I get them all screwed up. I can't remember their names. I'm sure he likes pork ribs. I know his brother does. I like his brother. Guy with the wild hair. He looks like he's from a, you know, same mother, different milkman kind of situation going there. I like him, man. I like to party with that dude. I'd party with him. I don't care. Royal or not, I don't give a damn. Here's a drink. Anyway, getting back. I mean, this is a serious subject here. Now we're talking about, come on, party with the frickin' royals? Come on. Well, the teenagers were kidnapped and murdered in cold blood by human animals, Mr. Netanyahu says. He convened an emergency meeting of his security cabinet. And I want to repeat that. Maybe the president's listening. Maybe he knows now what a leader is supposed to do. This is what I've been trying to get at for the last, well, I don't know, an hour now. He convened an emergency meeting. An emergency meeting. An emergency. Your embassy's under attack. Your ambassador's gone missing. The place is on fire. We're being shot at with mortar fire and machine guns. We got casualties. We got wounded. Okay, boys, thanks. I'm going to go upstairs and eat now. No. A real leader, well, they convene an emergency meeting. Definitely of their security cabinet. Preferably the Secretary of State, you would think. Under normal conditions, don't you think the Situation Room would consist of, well, generals, you know, the Secretary of Defense, maybe the Secretary of State, you think that they would be there. You know, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, of course, the President, he's got to be there, right? But no. We got the dude and Valerie Goebbels. That's in the Situation Room. Our General and Secretary of Defense are over there in the corner. I guess they're playing pinochle. I'd still like to know why they didn't get fired that night and throw a fit. Demand that the President get down here and do his job. And tell that Valerie Goebbels to shut her big fat frickin' mouth. And shut up that howdy-doody-looking dude. It's like, come on. Come on, kid. Come on. Yeah, here's a lollipop. Go over there and suck on it. Shut up, dude. Ah. I mean, you see the difference between a leader and a president? According to reports, Israeli troops flooded into Palestine town of Halal, I guess. I don't know. Where the bodies of the three kidnapped teenagers were found. In an operation codenamed Brother's Keeper. They went out looking for them. Immediately. Israel dispatched thousands of troops across the West Bank, in search of youths. Closed roads in all the areas and arrested over 400 Hamas operatives throughout the territory. They get to work. What do? Well, we give a speech. A speech. A pre-written speech typed into your teleprompter. No action. We still haven't sent our military. Now we got one guy. Our embassy gets attacked. Our ambassador is raped with a cattle prod, burnt. He goes up and eats. CNN gets to the scene 2.5 weeks before our FBI. Military should have been sent that night. We could have captured a lot of them. We don't know how long it was going to be. We could have captured and killed a lot of them. But we didn't. There was no emergency cabinet meeting. There was dinner and a phone call. And a call to YouTube to begin the spin. Blame it on a video. That right there, I mean, if that is not impeachable, I don't know what is. If that is not downright criminal, I do not know what is. That is criminal. That is impeachable offense. The man deserted his post. During an act of war, he's the commander-in-chief. I mean, that poor buck private can't desert his post in a damn ditch. I mean, the president, the commander-in-chief of all armed forces, Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines. If he deserts his post, he's just as guilty of a deserter as his old Bergdahl. As anybody. You desert your post, you desert your post. You should have been impeached for that. That should have been immediate. But we didn't have a Congress. And even if we did, the Senate would have voted no. We at least should have been impeached for that. If we had a responsible Congress, which we don't. Again, that's our fault. We got lazy going into the voting booth. I'm going to vote for all the good, fun stuff. I'm going to vote for this person over here. Because he believes in peace and love. And she loves unicorns. Oh, and she's a woman. She believes in abortion. Ooh. Well, that's what happened. And now we're stuck with it. Alec Baldwin finds out what all of his liberalism has brought him, and then he doesn't like it. And he throws a fit. I agree, Mr. Baldwin. I agreed with you. You shouldn't have been approached. You're a grown man. It's New York City. You get stupid enough, you're going to ride your bike in front of a car and get hit? Well, who do you got to blame? Well, yourself. You might piss the driver off. He's probably late now. Now he's got to fill out paperwork, call insurance company, blah, 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 blah. Misses his meeting, doesn't get his bonus. Pay attention. But, I mean, cop, if nobody's a threat, you know, a real threat, you know, like robbing somebody, shooting somebody, just, you know, relax. But we don't have that in our society. We got a police state. I'm sorry, but we're damn near there. They've got the power. They can turn it into it just like that. Well, I got a badge. I got a gun. I can do what I want. I got a cop handbook. Yeah, well, I got a constitution. And constitutions trump cop handbooks. So, there you go with that. Well, Netanyahu seeks revenge. And now listen to President Obama trying to lecture Netanyahu, like Obama knows more. Well, Obama's got a peace prize. Does Netanyahu have a peace prize, I wonder? Probably not. But Obama does, so he knows more. Plus, Obama was a community organizer, which, hey, that's a special gift. To organize a community? And to be president of the Harvard Law Review? No, Mr. Satoru, at the time, you were a foreign exchange student that coasted through school simply because you were a foreign exchange student. I would love to see your bar exam scores, or should I say score. You probably got one question right. That might have been your age, but we don't know that either. We don't know anything about this guy. But I guarantee you, I'm not a lawyer, but I guarantee you, if you had a real lawyer, look at his bar exam results, I guarantee you he failed it. He failed it and failed miserably. And then he claims to be a constitutional scholar. A scholar. You were a guest speaker. That's not a scholar. That's not a scholar. That's not a professor. That's not a professor. Professor takes the class all by himself every day. And not, you know, whenever it's convenient. And I guess, now this is just what I heard, he had a problem showing up on time. If he ever showed up at all. He was probably trying to help his wife, who was probably going to court, who was, well, she lost her law license. I wonder why NBC and ABC and CBS, I wonder why they never brought that up during the campaign. You know, it kind of makes you wonder, why didn't they bring that up? You think of Laura Bush would have lost her law license? You think they would have brought that up? They didn't have any trouble bringing up the fact that she got in a car accident when she was a young woman and killed a woman. They didn't have any trouble bringing that up. But Michelle Obama loses her law license because she's corrupt. Hillary Clinton should have lost her law license a long time ago, but she got the protection of her husband. Her husband was an attorney general, so she was protected by him there. And then when her husband became governor, well, she was very protected. And then, of course, when he became president, she was really protected. This woman has gotten absolutely nowhere by herself. And I got a story in here, and I'm going to get to it tonight. I wanted to get into it last night. But we'll get into it tonight. But Netanyahu seeks revenge. And our president urges Netanyahu not to destabilize the situation. Don't upset them. They're angry right now. Let them cool down. Give them a timeout. Let them cool down. Once they calm down, it'll be a lot easier to talk. I mean, what are you freaking kidding me? I mean, who the hell are you, Obama, to lecture Netanyahu? First of all, about anything, about leading his country. Netanyahu knows how to lead a country. You, sir, do not. Shut up! Stabilize the situation? They kidnapped their citizens. And then while the citizens are trying to call for help, they get shot. And then their bodies dumped. Well, what they did was they changed cars. They drove about 10 minutes or so, changed cars, put the bodies in another car, I guess put it off somewhere else, and then they lit the other car on fire. They dumped the bodies off at another place. They burnt that car. And the bodies were half buried and this and that. But I mean, knowing that, and I'm sure the president knows because I'm sure he was watching CNN, you don't say don't destabilize the situation to somebody. What did they just do to their citizens? And you're telling Netanyahu don't upset them? don't upset the enemy? Don't upset the people that just did this? What do you expect them to do? You see the difference between a leader and I guess, well, he's in the office of president, but we can't call him it because he doesn't act like one. I mean, that's the big difference. That's what I noticed here this afternoon. I just thought to myself, you know, I mean, the difference between this situation and what happens, what a leader does and what our president does. Netanyahu organizes an emergency cabinet meeting of his Security Council, and Obama goes up and eats. Netanyahu attacks back after they've been attacked by several rockets into their country again. Then our president says, don't destabilize the situation. Well, let me tell you something, Mr. Obama. When you have rockets coming flying into your country on a daily basis, the situation is already freaking destabilized, you idiot. Why do you, I mean, my God, why do you bother speaking sometimes? Why does this man, why did they allow this man to speak? That's another constitutional amendment we need in here. Barack Hussein Obama, a.k.a. Barry Sotoro, shall never speak. And Congress has the authority to pass laws to keep such. Just shut up. You're embarrassing, I know. Well, it doesn't embarrass you, that's the problem, but it does embarrass me. I'm tired of you speaking in front of the world, Mr. President, and then embarrassing me. You're embarrassing this entire country. And then what he did today, the stupid speech he did today, coming out here saying he's ready to go. He didn't say we've got shovel-ready jobs, but he worded it, and I'm not going to play it because I just didn't want to play him tonight. I just got sick of his voice. But I watched the stupid speech live. And he's trying to claim that he's got shovel-ready jobs. But again, he didn't use the word shovel-ready. You see, they already tried that once, and it didn't work. But they word things to make it sound like, well, the jobs are right there, just ready to go. The only problem is those Republicans. We got everything right here to go. We got all the men, you know, they're all standing there. Yeah, they got shovels in the hand. They got the cement mixers. They got all the trucks. We got all the supplies. We got everything we need to do. But the Republicans, they just won't do it. Well, I remember when the Democrats had majorities of the House and the Senate, and they passed this big, huge, multi-billion with a big, fat, friggin' B. $800 billion pork sandwich that was supposed to have all these shovel-ready jobs. We were going to take care of all this unemployment. Everybody was going to be, everybody was going to go back to work. We were going to build bridges. We were going to build roads. Oh, it's going to be beautiful. Airports. We're going to be building and just building, 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 building. Where'd that $800 billion go? Well, it went to his little friends opening up the little green companies. Solyndras, who have no intent of running a business, period. There was no intent of conducting business. Well, it was business for them. They were going to get themselves a nice, hefty little paycheck, and then when it's all said and done and the company's got bankrupt, guess what happens? They get a bonus check. How do you get a multi-million dollar bonus check? But how do you get a bonus check for bankrupting a company? Opening up a company specifically to bankrupt it, how do you get a bonus check? Oh, well, you sign a contract with the government. And you're friends with a lot of people in the government. And you can rape the taxpayer, no problem. It's easy to rape the taxpayer. They can't fight back. Well, the taxpayer is going to be fighting back. A lot of people are going to be fighting back. And you're going to start really pissing a lot of people off. And then it's going to get ugly. We don't need to get ugly. We just need to get smart and go into the voting booth and vote these bums out. But before we do that, we got to start putting some better candidates up there. I mean, this Reince Priebus, okay, fine, blah, blah, blah. But you've got all 50 states here to deal with. I'm sorry, you're the Republican man. You've got a lot of races in every state, and every single race must be challenged. That's how you do it. You can do it. You get the grassroots together. Grassroots spread. They're like weeds, and they do spread. But you got to do it, and you got to do it right, and you got to put the right people up there. You can't just put somebody up there to put somebody up there. We've got people. We just need to put them up there and then vote them in and then demand they do their job. And if they don't, then we get them out. That's our job. We've got to hire and fire a lot better. We are the manager. And we got to start managing. Stabilize the situation. Just go along with it. It's fine. That's what they want. That's why they don't like Republicans. When they say, you know, in the Tea Party, when they want freedom, they don't destabilize the situation. Just do everything that we want. Don't upset the enemy. Don't upset Al-Qaeda. They'll attack us. No, I'm sorry, but isn't it the Chicago way? You come after me with a knife, I come after you with a gun. Isn't that the Chicago way? Father, I cannot imagine the indescribable pain that the parents of these teenage boys are experiencing. Mr. Obama, again, shut up. And he's got a prepared statement. This guy is going to be speaking about something like this. Three teenagers kidnapped and brutally murdered, driving down the road because they were trying to save their lives. And these two little cowards didn't want to get caught. Can't speak a couple of words, couple of sentences without a prepared speech that he didn't write. This is why I can't deal with this crap anymore. A real leader doesn't need to have a teleprompter to speak. I mean, he's up there in the Rose Garden after Benghazi, and he needs a teleprompter. You don't need a teleprompter. Your embassy was attacked. You should know what happened. You should say, hey, this is what happened. We were attacked, and we're going to get them. Our military's already over there. We've captured a whole bunch of them. We killed a whole bunch of other ones, and we're going to find out the rest of them. But that never happened. No. That never happened. I guess they must have worked up all night. You know, Obama probably went to sleep, though, because he had a, you know, busy day. He's got a speech in the Rose Garden now. He didn't really plan. And then he's got to fly to Vegas because he's got a big speech for a fundraiser there. And that's important. There's an election going on. He doesn't have time for all these emergency cabinet meetings. He's a king. From the outset, I have offered our full support to Israel. No, you haven't. You don't. I mean, this is how pathetic this is. I don't even want to read this. But it's so disgusting. I mean, you have to listen to this. I have offered our full support to Israel and the Palestinian Authority to find the perpetrators of this crime and bring them to justice. Really? Like you did with Benghazi? I mean, listen to this. How does this guy get away with saying the stuff that this guy says? I just do not know. Doesn't he understand what he's saying? Does he not know that? I mean, is he that pathological that he has no idea what is true, what is not, what is real, what is not, what is right, what is not? Does he understand anything? Does he even understand frickin' English? And I encourage Israel and the Palestinian Authority to continue working together in that effort. What are you talking about? What do you mean? You encourage? Shut up. I also urge all parties to refrain from steps that could further destabilize the situation. What do you mean by that? I also urge parties to refrain. What do you mean refrain? They're sending over rockets. They're kidnapping their citizens. And they're blowing their frickin' heads off as they drive down the goddamn road. There is no refrain. The situation's already destabilized. I mean, I don't understand why he would even make a stupid statement like that. That doesn't even make sense. What he's really saying is, don't upset them. Just let them go. They'll calm down. Just let them get it out of their system. Let them relax. Let them calm down. Then we can have a conversation. We can have some dialogue. I hate that. There's no dialogue. Shut up. Are you in the theater? Okay, then. There is no dialogue. And there is no conversation with these people either. Except for maybe ready, aim, fire. That's about it. Oh my God, the guy, he continues to go on here. I mean, he just doesn't stop. It's like, shut up. As the Israeli people deal with this tragedy, they have the full support and friendship of the United States. Really? Maybe you should give the full support and friendship to, I don't know, maybe the citizens of the United States? That might help. At least help your poll numbers. We still got a Marine there in Mexico. What you going to do about him? Huh? Nothing? What, he's not important enough for you? That would definitely boost up your poll numbers, I'm telling you. You want to get your poll numbers up there, Mr. Obama? Get old Tamarissi out of jail. Get your numbers up. I guess he's not as important as a deserter like Private Bergdahl. Is that it? I mean, Netanyahu vows for retribution. And Obama vows for compassion. Netanyahu vows retribution for Hamas, and Obama vows compassion for Hamas. Wow. You see the difference between a leader and a community organizer? That's the difference right there. Unfriggin' believable, this guy. And then, of course, this Hamas leader, this creep, he's out there praising it. Blessed be the hands that captured them. Oh, but this just wasn't us. We don't support that kind of thing. We're a nice, peaceful group of guys. We don't know who did it, but, we'll go out there and try to find them for you. We'll help you out. Meanwhile, he says, this is a Palestinian duty. the responsibility of Palestinian people. Our prisoners must be freed. Not Hamas's prisoners, but the prisoners of the Palestinian people. So this is what we have now. Now we have a culture now. South America and Central America, there are Central America mainly, and Mexico, they're good with kidnappings. They love to kidnap. Middle East, they love to kidnap. People love to kidnap and hold for ransom. Well, now people are going to be kidnapping people and demanding that these other people that are in jail be released. Think for one second that people in this country aren't going to start doing it. More and more and more and more and more. This is what people do. They find a way. Oh, wow, that's they get a quick, easy buck, and they can get this, they can get that. Well, let's do it. So they do. But we can't, you know, don't destabilize the situation. Just relax. Let them calm down. Let them breathe. Give them a timeout. Then we'll have a conversation. We'll find out their true feelings. Maybe we can come to a compromise. I mean, who the hell does this guy think he is to even say something like that? First of all, Mr. Obama, you got no business commenting on anything. But what he did there in Washington today under that bridge. And again, he's still on the campaign trail, but he's running out of gas. And he doesn't have that, you know, that poop, you know, anymore. He doesn't have that, you know. So his speech was really short. And the people listening are, they had no idea. They weren't listening to anything other than a grown man crying like a little baby, whining, sniveling, and complaining. He's got all these jobs ready to go. All he has to do is just get them Republicans to sign this magic bill and bring it into my desk and I can sign it. That's what he thinks. That's what he's telling his crowd. So now these people, they believe it. That the Republicans are purposely sitting on a magic bill and refusing to sign it so that the entire economy can just go back to the way it was. Everybody's got a job. Yeah. Let's see. What industries have you damn near destroyed? Well, the coal industry. You're hurting the oil industry. You're hurting the mom-and-pop shops. Those are gone. The auto industry, I don't know what the hell you did to that. What you did to Detroit is gone. It's done. Nothing left of it. And you saved it. Yeah, you saved it, all right. You really saved it. Kind of like that community you organized in Chicago. You know, the murdered capital of the frickin' country. I mean, who the hell is this guy now to lecture Benjamin Netanyahu about anything? Who the hell is this president to lecture anybody? Absolutely freaking ridiculous. All right, we got to open up my treasure chest here. But before we do that, looks like my brother's sober enough to call in tonight. Are you there, Meathead?
No, I'm drunk enough to call in tonight. What are we talking about?
Well, we got Benjamin Netanyahu acts like a leader and does leader stuff, and then we've got our president. Well, he acts like, I guess, like a, you know, that's yours. He's all yours.
I said yours. I said it first.
He's yours. Hillary Clinton is yours. Valerie Goebbels
you
is yours.
You have Hillary's calves, though.
You are Hillary's calves. Go on. What do you mean, go on? Go on what?
That's what we're talking about today. I'm just joining in.
I'm talking about Netanyahu and our president. What's going on with those three teenagers?
Why do you keep calling them ours? Why do you keep saying ours?
What do you mean ours?
Our president, you keep saying.
Well, you know, just...
You need to be really corrected several times when you say that. It's just...
Well, first of all, he's not a president. Because presidents, first of all, don't desert their post the very moment they find out that their embassy is under attack and their ambassador is being raped with a cattle prod.
Hey, you're singing in the choir, pal.
I am the choir.
I'm the instructor, the conductor, whatever they call them.
Well, we're done talking about. I'm done talking about Obama tonight. He's making me sick. But I got a
new.
Let me open up my treasure chest here and find out what the hell's in it. Hold on.
All right.
Here we are. We got the medical staff warned at the border. Keep your mouth shut about all these illegal immigrants or you're going to face arrest. You wouldn't believe the amount of deadly diseases they've got over there. That they're not only bringing, they're bringing all this stuff in and then they're shipping them wherever they can. They're dumping them to all the places where they need more Democrats. They've got all Republicans over here.
Well,
that's exactly what they're doing.
If you want to put a conspiracy theory together.
That's not a conspiracy.
That's what they're doing. No, just hear me. That would be a conspiracy. They ship on all the diseases that they can, get them out of their country into our country.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. Well, that's a conspiracy theory, but it's,
Well, it's not so much for that. What it is with them is they're trying to get as many people into the United States as possible. So when Obama brings out his magic pen – and he just signs his amnesty bill.
Now,
he's
going to
turn them all. Well, he's going
to
turn them all into immediate citizens, which means they can vote. And of course, they're all going to vote Democrat, which I believe. Look, I've been saying this. Look, if you're going to give them amnesty, they should not be allowed to vote for at least 10 years. And when you do, you do need to have an ID.
I know what he's doing. Everybody knows what he's doing. It's just the dum-dums that, Pelosi's and...
That's another one that's yours. That's all yours. She's all yours.
I can't have it. She wouldn't come my way. She went your way. The Pelosi's, all those morons, they're going to, President, you bless your heart. You're saving people's lives, and come on.
Well,
here's the deal.
We need to impeach. He needs to be impeached.
It's not going to happen because he's only got 2 years left or something like that.
By then,
it's too late. So let's just live. With
I don't like that
the,
attitude.
Yeah.
Look, he should not be allowed.
Well,
your buddy Boehner. I don't know why you like that Boehner. I don't like him.
I do. I think it's his eyes. He's got sexy eyes.
No, he's Kurt. He's a bum. He's a bum.
It's pretty gay of me to say, but
I know. That's because you are. But anyway, moving on. they finally get this a veteran an opportunity to call to schedule an appointment. 2 years after the man dies. Wait till we get to this. Oh, here's one. Let me get to this. This is what I was going to get in last night, but I didn't. So since you're here, I'm here. I need a shot of rum, and we're going to get into this. Is your girlfriend and your fat thighs?
Apparently, I have several. So which one?
Hillary Clinton. She's all yours.
Hillary, that's my girl.
Okay, she's all liquored up one night in this restaurant. She's a booze hound.
Well, good for her.
But hey, she likes to drink, she likes to party, so what?
Listen to me.
Well, she had a couple of cocktails, and she starts opening up her mouth. Well, this guy, Edward Klein, he's a reporter. He used to be a Newsweek editor. He's a big to-do, whatever, blah, 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 blah. And he's written a book called Blood Feud. It's about the Clintons and the Obamas. Because the Clintons and the Obamas, I guess it's very widely known, they do not like each other at all. They are not friendly people with each other. They do not like each other. Well, anyway, I mean, they act all lovey-dovey on stage. Of course, you know, Clinton,
wait,
she loves
it. Does that make the Clintons racist?
Yes. Because they're,
okay.
They're just racist. They're vicious people. Anyway, I'm trying to get
to going. It. I get it.
Well, she's all liquored up, and of course, you know, then her big fat mouth starts running, and this happened in May of 2013, and according to this Mr. Klein, at this French restaurant, which I can't even pronounce, I'm not even going to try to. It was near there. Yeah, it was near the Clinton mansion, though. You know, the big mansion, because she was bankrupt. They were destitute when they left the White House. You don't remember that? Remember when they stole? You know, this is what it is. This is why I think they stole. Remember when she left, the Clintons left, and they took all that extra stuff that they weren't supposed to take? They took chairs and silverware, and they took all this stuff. Well, that's probably what it was. They raided the White House because they were poor. They were destitute. They didn't have any money. They were bankrupt. So anyway, they're at near the mansion. Well, I'm trying to get to it. Just shut up. This Mr. Klein says that Hillary told her friends that the Clintons made a deal with the Obamas that they would help him get reelected in 2012 in exchange for Obama support in getting Hillary elected president in 2016. Well, she said he agreed to the arrangement, but then he reneged on the deal. So now the Clintons are pissed because Hillary's on her own. Her book tour now is just a disaster. She's not getting any support. And she says his word isn't worth, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The S word.
Get it.
And she goes, many have reported there's no great secrets. Blah, blah, blah. There's another one. I'm trying to get to the real good quote here. She goes, I hate that man Obama more than any man I've ever met, more than any man who ever lived. This is Hillary talking about.
She's never met me then.
There was another one. Where was the other quote? Blah, blah, blah. She said, you can't trust that mother effer.
Hillary didn't say that.
She said that about Barack and saying Obama, your brother. Here it is. You can't trust that mother effer, claiming that Obama has turned into a joke. So she says you can't trust that mother effer and Obama has turned into a joke. Well, you know what, sweetheart?
Yeah.
You're a joke, too.
Well,
what
they
do
both
you mean,
are, but well, I just, no, I'm not going to. That's hearsay
What are you talking about, hearsay? Kurt, this woman has a mouth like a truck driver. What, are you kidding me?
But this guy, we don't know him.
Yes, you do know him. Kurt, this guy, no, come on. You've got no argument here, kid. You got nothing to stand on.
I have no argument. I don't want to argue it. I wish he's correct. But I can't buy it until, you know, I heard her say it myself, I guess.
She did say it. Kurt, this woman has been on. What do you mean you don't know? Why do you argue? Why do you? That's your liberal coming out at you. Why are you arguing?
I have no liberal in me.
This is written.
Because come on, this guy said that she said MF-er in public like that, and it just doesn't happen when you're in politics.
What do you mean?
They're smarter than that.
Kurt, it wasn't in public. These are restaurants when they're on their own little places where they're eating and they're all together talking.
They're pretty much public.
Well,
it doesn't
matter.
The
public isn't anywhere
near
him.
If she said it, God bless her.
Kurt, the public doesn't go anywhere near. You've got no freaking argument.
God bless her.
Kurt, I have no idea what the hell you're talking about. I got to get going. I got a show to do, so let me get going.
Jimmy.
All right. What else was I going to tell you? Wait a minute. Now I was going to ask you something, but now I forgot. All right, you're gone. So, all right, I don't know what the hell that was about. There's no reason to argue that anyway, so. Washington School District complies with Michelle Obama's lunch rules and bans birthday cupcakes. Can't have cupcakes. EPA spends $1.6 million on a hotel for environmental justice conference. What the hell? Must be nice just to start spending all the money that you want to. You don't need any responsibility. You don't need any accountability. It's not your money. Just go ahead and spend. Make sure you get the nicest hotels you can and get all the good room service. Drinking your little fluffy little drinks there in the hot tub and take some pictures and maybe make a video. Have a gay old time. Unfreaking believable, this government, and they never stop. And then they want to come out and they want to blame the other party for waste, fraud, and abuse. And we keep voting for it. And now look at this. Naming military helicopters after Native American tribes now is propaganda-fueled injustice. I wanted, you know, I read this the other day, and I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Unfortunately, I'm not. The Apache, Blackhawk, Comanche, Cheyenne, Chinook, Lakota. Those were all names of military aircraft. Why would you name your aircraft after Apache? Why do you think? Blackhawk, Comanche, Cheyenne. Why do you think you would do that? We had Chinooks on my ship. Sea Snakes, what they were called. Sea Snake 10. Remember her well. She was always having flight quarters. Emergency flight quarters, emergency flight quarters. Never crashed, though. Those are names of helicopters our military uses in war. They save lives all across the armies. Nothing compares. And let me tell you something. I've flown up in these helicopters and these pilots, and I've watched these pilots fly these helicopters. Wow. Unbelievable what these men can do with these machines. It's absolutely incredible. The precision that they have with these machines is absolutely, I mean, you can't, you have to see it to believe it. You have to see it to believe it. But now, the managing editor of the Boston Review, well, Boston, first of all, shut up. I'm sick and tired of hearing Boston. The Boston Review, Simon Waxman, he's an idiot, claims the use of Native American tribe names for military helicopters is a shameful injustice perpetrated by the American government. Wow. Cashing in on the loud opposition of the Washington Redskins team name, this article goes on, Mr. Waxman wrote an editorial for the Washington Post. And this is it. It is worse than denial. It is propaganda. No, what you're doing here about blaming all of this Redskins and Apaches and Comanches and whatnot, that, sir, propaganda. Naming a helicopter after an Apache or a Comanche is out of respect. It's a sign, this is a brave, this is a powerful machine here. I mean, what do you want them to name their helicopters? You got another name, huh? How about the Unicorn? Imagine that. Imagine if you're a helicopter a pilot, and you got all these, you know, weapons on your helicopter, and it's a unicorn. Imagine that. You're going to call your helicopter a unicorn. No. You got an Apache. He goes on. The message carried by the word Apache, emblazoned on one's histories, great fighting machines, is that the Americans overcame an opponent so powerful and true that we are proud to adopt its name. Now that you just missed you miss everything. Where your mind is, sir, I don't know. But if you don't mind, you can bring it back down to earth any time now. That would greatly help in the progression of the conversation, but no. That won't happen. They tested our metal, and we proved stronger, so don't mess with us. I mean, the arrogance of this guy, the arrogance and the ignorance combined, gets you this. This is where their mindset is. This is pulled out of thin air. People can't really believe this, but they do. They do. In whatever measure it is, tribute to the dead, it is in greater measure to boost our national sense of superiority. I mean, just God Almighty, I'm tired of reading this. And this message of superiority is shared not just with U.S. citizens, but with those of the 14 nations whose governments buy the Apache helicopters we sell. It is shared, too, with those who hear the whirl of an Apache overhead or find its guns trained on them. So again, he's saying, well, they kill. You kill the Indian, you name a helicopter after it that goes out and kills a whole bunch more people because you're white and you're superior. No. You, whoever wrote this, is an idiot. Simon Waxman. You're a jackass. I mean, we've got to stop this. And this is for no other reason other than to make the right look like they're haters. That's the only reason. There is no other reason other than to simply make the right look like they are haters because they're going to disagree with this because it's stupid. And it is stupid. It's arbitrary. It's baseless. And it's just ridiculous. It's only designed to make us look bad. And we keep falling for it. Well, I want to get into this now. This medical staff down there at the border, a government contracted security force. Yeah, a government contracted security force. God only knows who those people really are. But a government contracted security force should scare the living hell out of you. Well, they do. They threaten to arrest the doctors and nurses if they divulge any information about the threat of diseases at these refugee camps now that's housing all these illegal aliens. Well, they're not really camps. In spite of the threat, several former camp workers finally broke their confidentiality agreements and shared exclusive details about the dangerous conditions at these camps. They said taxpayers deserve to know about the contagious diseases and the risks the children pose to Americans. I have agreed to not disclose their identities because they fear retaliation and prosecution, the reporter says. Well, yeah, we know that. We don't need to be told this. Of course you wouldn't give their names. You see, because we have a, you know, an act in our, you know, that was passed. It's now a legitimate act. It's a law. Whistleblowers can't be persecuted. But you have to keep them silent. You're not allowed to divulge their name. But yet, whistleblowers are protected. We've got it in the law. Well, we've got a whole bunch of laws that nobody seems to want to follow. There's a whole bunch of them in the Constitution that nobody seems to want to follow, especially our president. He's rewriting it as he goes along. So if the president can rewrite the laws, why can't I? So a cop gives me a ticket, a cop, you know, tries to arrest me. I say, hey, no, I already rewrote the law, man. It's in the book. I pulled out my pen. I rewrote the law. I was legal. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, you can go. Must be nice being a Democrat. Just change the rules as you go along and just until you win. And then when you win, then that's when you end the game. Okay, we won. All right. Well, they're scaring the living bejesus out of these people. They're not just, you know, a little threatening. They're threatening. Well, a former nurse at the camp said she was horrified about what she had saw. We have so many kids coming in there. No way to control all of the sickness, all of the stuff coming into the country. Stuff coming into the country. We don't know what's coming in, but we're bringing them in anyway. See, if a whole bunch of them die off, if they bring them into a whole bunch of red areas, well, see, what they can do is they can bring all these people in, bring all their diseases, they'll all move out, we can bring in more Democrats, and then they can win. I mean, I'm going a little bit overboard with all these conspiracies, but the point is they're bringing these people in simply to make them voters. They're infecting the public. They're putting them on airplanes. Yeah. Airplane. So if you're flying around right now, you could have some kind of disease still stuck in its system there, the ventilation system, and now, well, you're going to get sick. Did they think about that? No. No, we've got to bring them over here. We've got a short time before Obama runs out of patients and he signs amnesty. So you got to bring them over here as quick as you can. We are very concerned at one point about strep going around the base. Both the counselor and the nurse said their superiors tried to cover up all of the extent of the illnesses. It wasn't just one. It was a whole bunch of them. They tried to cover it up. Why would you cover it up? Why would you do that? See what I mean? I mean, this is something that my brain just can't process. Why would you want to try to cover that up? I don't know. You got a whole bunch of diseases coming in here. You think maybe that you would try to get them fixed before you allowed them to go into the public? Now, see, when my family came over here, some of them came over beginning at 1902, 1903, up until about 1911, 1912. I think 1911 was the last one of all my family. But there was people that they weren't allowed to come over here. And if you had some kind of disease, no, you weren't allowed. I had some kind of relative that wasn't allowed to come over because she was blind. Even though they had the whole family that could take care of her, she still wasn't allowed to come over because she was blind. Now you have deadly diseases, scabies, whatever the hell a scabie is. I don't know. I don't want it. I just know it's bad, and it gets you sick. really bad. But they used to not let people in. And why would you do that? Why would you, knowing these people have all these diseases, why would you allow them to get on public transportation, buses, trains, planes, taxis, God only knows, and then just let them go wherever they want to go throughout the United States? Why would you do that? Knowing they have these diseases that are very contagious. I mean, it's not like the sniffles. These are very contagious diseases. Now, I'm reading, again, the first sentence of the Constitution, the very first sentence. Provide for the common defense and promote the general welfare. I mean, that's the first sentence of the Constitution. How is that providing the common defense when anybody can come across the border and do us harm? How is it promoting general welfare for anybody, the immigrants or the citizens? It's not. How come nobody brings that up? How come we don't got a reporter that brings that up? How come we don't have a cabinet member bring that up? Oh, that's right. They're afraid of the king. They don't want to lose their job. Nobody wants to lose their job, so they keep their mouth shut and they cover up crimes just so they don't lose their job. So maybe later on down the road, somebody might recognize that, give them a favor. Yeah, remember when I covered that up for you? Yeah, okay, I owe you. I mean, these are human lives that we're dealing with. Now, granted, I don't like the fact that these illegal aliens are coming over here and disrespecting our laws, disrespecting our way of life. But they're still human beings. And we invited them. God only knows how many we actually transported here and or paid for their transportation. But the point is, this is a stew of all kinds of crises. There are crimes being committed down here. And our government's going to go out, our president, he's going to go out and lecture his little base, lecture the American people that he has all these jobs. All these jobs could be just right now. If the Republicans would just pass this magic bill, what bill is it? Well, we don't really know. Nobody's seen it, but we know it exists. And if you bring it in front of Obama, he'll sign it, and everybody will have a job. So you better get to it there, dear John Boehner. The king has decreed. He doesn't have time to wait. He's going to make up his own law. He's got that pen. It's in his hand. One phone call away, bada boom, bada bing, it's done. When they found, this is one of the whistleblowers here. When they found out the kids had scabies, the charge nurse, oh my God, probably Nurse Ratchet. Well, when they found out the kids had scabies, Nurse Ratchet was adamant. Don't mention that. Don't say scabies. Don't even mention the word. Yeah, but that they've got the disease. They need to be fixed. Oh, well, no, there's nothing there. There's nothing wrong. Yeah, there is. You're a nurse. Somebody's sick, you fix them. Well, at least that's what I thought nurses and doctors did, right? They fix people that are broken. An auto mechanic fixes cars. A doctor fixes people. Well, at least it's what I thought. Maybe I was wrong. I could be wrong. I'm crazy. I'm a crazy person. I'm a whack job. What the hell do I know? Some of the workers were very concerned about touching things. Really? Picking things up? Well, yeah. They should be concerned, you think? The nurse said, now this is gross. The nurse said lice was just absolutely, it was an epidemic. They'd be talking to these kids and you could see the lice in their hair. And they'd rinse their hair out, wash their hair. And they said the entire sink was loaded with all of these black bugs. Now that right there would really wig me out. I can't deal with bugs. I hate insects. I'm scared to death of insects. I can't deal with them. And they got them in your hair like that? No, not interested. And they're letting these people just walk around our communities, infecting the rest of the population. Well, again, it's not fair to them, and it's not fair to us. It's not fair to anybody. But it's certainly fair to the Democrats, because these are all their brand new voters. Fresh off the assembly line. Here they are. Scabies and all. Unbelievable. Unbelievable what the hell they're doing down there. I mean, that's criminal, what this government is doing. If you're going to invite all these people to come over, I mean, you would think, I mean, again, common sense and logic and that kind of stuff, you would think that if you were going to send a propaganda campaign down there to Central America, that if you come over to the United States, we're not going to get rid of you. You're going to give welfare and health care. And if you got kids, well, then, we're not going to deport you. Everything is going to be fine and rosy. You'll be a citizen soon. Well, if you're going to go down there and you're going to do that, you're going to invite all these people to come down there, you need to have a place to hold them. Otherwise, why invite them? Why? It's like inviting, all your friends, all the people you work with, your entire neighborhood, to this big giant party, but you got no place to hold them. Everybody shows up, and where are you showing up? Well, where's the party? Well, we got no place to hold it. Well, now what? Well, we don't know. We're the government. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Well, these nurses are concerned now that if people are flying in planes and buses and stuff, because they flew them on commercial aircraft with all these diseases. I mean, now pilots are going to be getting sick in the middle of the air? Oh, that's great. I mean, what the hell is this government doing? I mean, we're kidnapping children. We're performing them, using them as lab rats. We're bringing in all kinds of diseases coming in here. I mean, it's almost like we're purposely trying to attack ourselves. I mean, who the hell needs Al-Qaeda? We have the Obama administration. I mean, my God, we don't have to worry about Al-Qaeda anymore. We got to worry about fighting our own government. This is too much, man. And I'm sick of it. I'm sick of talking about this guy. I'm sick of talking about all this crap tonight. We'll finish the rest of it tomorrow. I've just about had a buttful with all of it. And this vet, I mean, I'm just, oh, come on. 2 years after the guy dies, I want to get into this story because there's a lot to it. I just don't have time to get into it tonight. I'm running out of time. I got to get a short one here. All right, let's do this last one here, and then we'll be done. Washington State School District are now complying with Michelle Obama's lunch rules, where you can't eat anything. Well, the first lady worked with federal bureaucrats to strictly limit what foods, because they know better than you. What types of foods can be served in school cafeterias? But personally, anything that the kids are going to eat. Look, if you don't want, as a parent, a responsible parent, again, this all goes to the responsibility of the parent. Stop taking the responsibility out of the parent. If the parent doesn't want the child to eat cupcakes or this or that, well, then the parent should pack the lunch. Say, this is what you're going to eat. It's pretty simple. Parent needs to take control of their children, not the school, not the government, and certainly not the stupid first lady. Federal government regulations on meat. They hate meat because it kills. And vegetables and salt. They hate salt. Sugar. They got all these federal regulations. Well, evidently those regulations are only for items that are sold. So if you come in, like say you have a bake sale, remember when you were a kid, you always had a cakewalk, and everybody would spend so much money on a ticket, and you'd walk around, and if you stepped on the music would stop, and if you're stepping on a secret number or whatever, you win a cake. I won a cake once. And you got all these bake sales, and they sell it. Well, they banned it on anything that you can sell. You're not allowed to have cupcakes or sugar or this or that. It all has to be tofu. Come on. Well, the rule didn't apply to, let's say, food that you gave away. So birthday parties in the classrooms, well, see what they did now is they said, well, now no food. So if you have any parties in the classroom, no cupcakes or cakes or anything like that. Which when we were kids, somebody was always having a birthday. There was cupcakes. Come on. Come on. Again, kids and cupcakes, they go hand in hand. You can't be a kid without a cupcake. So what the school did said, okay. There was a birthday party and they had cupcakes and they didn't like that. So now they said no food at all. So if you have a birthday party, I guess... I don't know what you do. Everybody can chew on an asparagus. Who the hell knows? But the point is, it's not up to the school to decide how your child eats. It's up to the child and the parent, their job, not the teacher. Not the principal, not the superintendent, and certainly not the stupid first lady. It's the parent's role to be the parent. They're doing everything they can to take the responsibility away from the parent. So the parent doesn't have to be the parent anymore. The government is now the parent. Again, all goes into that Agenda 21 where they're trying to destroy the family unit. It's not sustainable. The family unit is not sustainable. Even though if you look back in history of man, been quite a long time, if it wasn't for the family, well, human beings would not have evolved into the species they are today. But now it's not sustainable. Yeah. Well, this is the liberalism that these people have been voting for. Not you, because you wouldn't do that. If you're listening to this program, you're not one of those that would vote for it. But far too many people are. Far too many of our neighbors, our friends, our family. Well, that mindset has got to change, and it's got to change within us. We can't change, we have to change ourselves, nobody else. We have to think before we act. Look at the results of all the liberalism. Anything that has ever been liberal, that has been implemented into the United States, take a look at it. Give me one of them that has ever succeeded, that has ever been a success, that has ever worked. None of them. None of it. None of it, none of it, none of it. Oh, but what about Social Security? Well, yeah, that did work until the government bankrupted it, borrowed all the money away from it, spent it all out. Medicare, Medicaid, anything the government, anything liberal, that does not work. I think it has a perfect track record of failing. I think it's up to us as responsible people to recognize that and just simply stop voting for it. Pull out our constitutions, wipe away all the dust, read it, and follow it. And that's all we got to do. I want to thank everybody listening here tonight, everybody on their smartphones, and everybody that's going to be downloading later. It was a great show. Thanks for listening. We will see you back here tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Goodbye, everybody.